Hello, and welcome back to Bywords. Bywords is a podcast of conversations on 50 years of knowledge and experiences gained in the antiques, collectibles, vintage, retro, and estate business by me, Rich Deakins. This is episode 4 of Bywords on antique and vintage jewelry. In our last episode, we started talking about metal content and scrap or melt pricing of silver and how to figure that value. Here are just a few quick reminders. Silver is predicated on 1,000 parts. Both silver and gold are too soft to be useful without the addition of alloys to make it workable. So sterling silver contains a minimum of 925 parts silver to 75 parts alloy. 800 silver contains 800 parts silver to 200 parts alloy. This is important when we're trying to figure out the value of precious metals present in an item, because the total weight is not precious metal, but a combination of precious metal and alloy. Today, we're going to dig into gold. Whereas silver is predicated on 1,000 parts, gold is predicated on 24 parts. 24 karat is considered pure gold. Just a side note. Most plates and other decor items that are trimmed in 24 or 22 karat gold do not actually have any precious metal value because the gold used is microscopically thin and kiln-fired right into the glaze or body of the object, making it impossible to remove. Also, there's actually very little weight there because, again, the layer is microscopically thin. So back to jewelry and other objects. The most common denominations of gold are 10 carat, 14 carat, and 18 carat. This is carat with a K, not carat with a C, as in precious stones. Carat with a K. In England, 9 carat is not unusual. Markings on gold produced since the late 19th, early 20th century are typically exactly what I've just spoken. 10K, 14K, 18K, and in Britain, 9K. So knowing that gold is predicated on 24 parts, we can know that the actual gold contained in a 10 carat ring is 10 parts gold and 14 parts alloy. It always needs to add up to 24. By extension, a 14 carat bracelet is 14 parts gold and 10 parts alloy. Again, a total of 24 parts. And an 18-carat necklace is 18 parts gold and 6 parts alloy. Obviously, the greater the carat, the greater the amount of actual gold contained in the object, but the softer that object becomes as the alloys are actually stronger than the gold. So just to recap, 10 carat equals 10 parts gold to 14 parts alloy. 14 carat equals 14 parts gold to 10 parts alloy. An 18 carat equals 18 parts gold to 6 parts alloy. And for our British friends, 9 carat equals 9 parts gold, 15 parts alloy. Now, an interesting note. A mass-produced object marked 14K is allowed to vary between 13K and nearly 15K and still be marked 14K. The same applies to both 10K and 18K. There is a window that is permissible by law. Occasionally, you will see items marked with a numerical carat designation and the letter P following the carat mark. This does not mean the item is gold plate. We'll get to that in a minute. It means that the carat marking is plumb, or dead on, or accurate. So if something says 14KP, that means it is 14 karat plumb, 14 parts gold, 10 parts alloy, and not a variation on that. Let's continue onward to calculating metal values of gold objects. First, we have to ascertain the total weight. In the show notes of last week's episode, I linked to inexpensive but totally serviceable jeweler scales that can be used to weigh jewelry and other precious metal objects. As we weigh, let's make certain the scale is set to grams, because that is the most commonly used unit of mass or weight in the industry. Then, once weighed, we need to be aware of the weight of any stones contained in the object. A 14-karat gold diamond solitaire ring does not weigh the total weight shown on the scale because there's a stone involved in that weight. Some stones are heavier than others. Most gemstones are not super heavy. Many semi-precious mineral-type stones and pearls can weigh a lot. There are sites on the internet that can help to clear that up, so I won't use time here for that. So let's say we've weighed our 14-karat ring with a quarter-karat diamond solitaire and find it weighs 3.8 grams. With a quarter-karat stone, we'll be safe and take 1 gram off the total weight, leaving us with 2.8 grams in metal weight. Similarly to the calculations for silver, we'll need to ascertain the gold spot price for the day. And here's another plug for the Kitco app, because it's free and very useful. KITCO.com. Kitco.com is where you can get the app. So let's say the daily spot price for gold is $4,957.30 an ounce, which works out to $159.38 per gram. We now have to figure out the price for 14K per gram, because remember that 14K ring is only 14 parts gold and 10 parts alloy. So we multiply that per gram price by 0.5833 to get a per gram price of 92.97, which we can then multiply by our weight of 2.8 grams to get a full scrap price of $260.31. But let's also remember what we learned last week, that very few people get full scrap, as we'll be selling to a broker who will then sell to a refinery. So let's assume, for the sake of this example, that we're getting paid 85%. Back to the calculator. Multiply that $260.31 by 0.85, and we end up with $221.26. That's a base amount that you can expect to scrap that particular ring for. Of course, there are different numbers to use for each different carat designation. I will include those numbers in the show notes. To DIY the number, simply divide the carat number by 24. For instance, 18 divided by 24 would get you 0.750. So if you're figuring the gram price for 18 carat, you would multiply the gram price by 0.750 to get the price for 18 carat. I have these numbers printed out and taped underneath my metal scale. However, I've been at this long enough to have the numbers memorized. What is new every time is the spot price of gold. It is constantly changing and may even change between the time you purchase an item and the time you sell the item. It may go up, or it may go down. That's the gamble of buying and selling precious metals and jewelry. Now, a few words about things that glitter, but are not gold. Gold plate. Gold plate is often designated by the initials HGE, heavy gold electroplate, or just GP, gold plate. Like silver plate, the actual amount of precious metal found on these items is minuscule. They have little to no scrap value and often aren't even attractive pieces of jewelry. That thin layer of gold plate will rub off, revealing the base metal underneath, which can be anything from brass to nickel to stainless steel to lead. Another category that glitters but is not gold is gold-filled. Gold-filled was popular from the mid-19th century through the 1940s. By law, gold-filled required at least 20% of the weight of the item to be gold. So it's like a gold plate, but a really thick gold plate. On older pieces, you will often see the marking as 1/20th 12K GF. 1/20th 12K gold-filled. This does have some gold value, but it is far lower than actual gold and is typically priced by the pound rather than by the ounce. Much 19th century gold-filled jewelry has better value as jewelry than it does for metal value. I would be remiss to not mention the fact that the market is also flooded with fake gold jewelry. By that, I mean jewelry that is marked 10K, 14K, or 18K, but is not. Examples of this type of fraud go back as far as the late 19th century, when the Duber Watch Company marketed their pocket watch cases with a 14-karat stamp, then added a small paper label saying, "The 14K on a Duber watch case is indicative of the high quality of workmanship displayed in the watch and is in no way indicative of metal content." Of course, that was over 125 years ago, and all those little paper labels are long gone by now, leaving Duber watch cases marked 14K with no paper label to explain that marking. Then there are also dupes coming from Asia with nice lobster claw clasps on the necklaces, fully marked 18K, but they are just thinly plated over stainless steel. Why stainless? For both weight and because stainless doesn't react to acid used for metal content testing. And that's my segue. You can use acid to test metal content. The kits are available inexpensively on Amazon, and I will provide a link for that in the show notes. These kits contain special acids that help detect gold plate from actual gold. Proper use of these kits should be a whole episode on its own, so I won't go into that now, but perhaps soon. Next episode, we'll start talking about styles, forms, and construction of vintage and antique jewelry. Until then, keep learning, keep hunting, keep hoping, and keep the past alive.